My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, December 11th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Give it a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 615. I'm not alone. I have a super special return guest that you know and you love, Michael Felder, college football analyst and expert. How the heck are you, sir?
Man, I'm busy. This is the first time I feel like my head's above water for the last month and a half, but I'm sure they're going to figure out a way to drown me again. So how are you doing?
I can't complain too much, man. Good. It's not, I made it on the other side almost a year after losing my dad. And I think the lessons that he taught me, just by really, not only just say, hey boy, do this, but just like, by the way he lived, I think I'm doing okay. I still got more room to grow, but I'm doing okay.
Dude, it never gets easier. My dad's actually going through that right now. My grandfather passed away at the start of November.
Oh, sorry.
My dad's he was 90, and 90 for a black man, woo, buddy.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a good run. That's actually a great run.
Yeah. So, but it was just, we had the funeral a couple of weeks ago, and it was just a lot of, you know, telling stories. And it kind of coincided with me being about 3 weeks into being moving home from Chicago.
Yeah.
And so it was a combination of, I'm excited to be home. I'm terrified because I don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather passes away. How can I help my dad? Oh, my entire family's coming. And so it's a bunch of people that I haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
Because I've been in Chicago.
Right.
And so it was like, it was great to see everyone. You just, you know, and it's the same. I think every black family has the same thing where it's so good to see you, but it's sad that it's at these circumstances. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Yes. Yes. All the time. All the time. The funerals, you're like, oh, I'm sad that this loved one is gone, but oh, my God, my cousin, my cousin's kid that I have never seen. He's like,
yep.
5 or 6 years old, and I've never seen. Yeah, that happened at my uncle's funeral on my mother's side in 2019.
Yeah,
it was. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is sometimes.
Yeah, it's very. You get to hear stories about your you know, in my case, my grandfather, and my dad's case, his dad, that you never even heard before, and
right,
you're like, whoa, what?
He did what?
But no, so yeah, I'm glad you're coming out the other side and you're working through it and you're making yourself a better man because of it. And I'm trying to do the same thing. Like I realized sitting through the funeral that my grandpa was a mean guy.
Okay.
And everyone said he was mean. And except for his youngest niece, everyone said he was mean. And my cousin Tiffany, she was like, he was never mean to me. And they were like, you're the youngest.
Yeah.
And but everyone else is like, he's mean, but he's mean because he wanted you to be better. And don't know. That's the cool thing. And I think about that with my kid all the time. I've got, she's four now, by the way. So
yeah,
I have a kid, like a full blown like kid.
How's that going?
Listen, I'm trying to take notes from Randolph, Terrence. And,
trying to raise a daughter.
I'm just trying to raise a daughter. Like, but I just, it's interesting. The biggest reason why we moved back home, it wasn't even the job thing. The biggest reason we moved back to Charlotte from Chicago wasn't even not liking Chicago. The biggest reason we moved back home was my kid. She looked at me and said, "Daddy, what's a backyard?"
Oh yeah. I know you had mentioned that, like saying that you wanted to have that for her. Cause I know you hated Chicago.
Yeah. It's not for me, man. It's for you. It's not for me.
Well, I mean, it's a good, to me, I haven't been back since I left, but that's just more of a, more of me just really not having that many friends there. And, sure. It's just a natural evolution, but, I did like it. I mean, to learn my craft, and I think that Midwestern ethic of just like grinding, working on your craft, and helped me here. But yeah. I would love to go back to visit and, you know, do stand up there and
for sure.
Maybe do a play there at some point. But I didn't hate it as much as you did.
Well, I learned how to grind from being in New York City.
Oh yeah. Well, New York is it's another beast. It was like, you know, you know what it was? It was like, cause I consider Maryland to be like anywhere USA for the most part. There's sure. places like, you know, you're close to the nation's capital and all that stuff, but it's just sort of like, I live in suburban Maryland. And there was like, yeah, when we got pizza, if it wasn't Shakey's, I was talking about that last week. It would be like Domino's or Pizza Hut. And then like where like culturally in the suburban USA, it's just like, and you go to a city and you're like, oh, you go to Domino's or you go to Pizza Hut or you go. It's like, yeah, that's what you know.
You trash, dog.
Yeah, right. So it's just kind of like, OK, but and then PG County specifically, mm-hmm. I think I would have been all right if I was went to New York right after. But you get confidence in yourself and you see, you know, this theme has kind of come up on the podcast a lot, just like where there's Black people around that are in these high positions. So you can aspire to be something because there's people that look like you that are in these higher positions, mm-hmm. whether it be a teacher, doctor, lawyer, or whatever it is. But I think it was important for me to be out there in a bigger city in Chicago, which wasn't my home. To learn learn what I could learn and then take it to New York. And there's countless people from Chicago, at least in the entertainment industry, that are really doing their thing in New York City. So, you know, it's, I think that did help me a lot.
For sure. No, yeah. I'm sure it did. Chicago was the first time I moved away from the state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
And it was, but the grind from New York City, like from working for Bleacher Report for so long, we got together, we had dinner, we had drinks together in New York City. Like I understood the hustle, the bustle. So I skipped that Chicago step.
Right, right.
And went straight to the New York step of like, mm-hmm. do it now. Like when you're on set and someone's like, oh no, a light went out. And they just give a PA a fistful of money and they're like, go get it.
Yeah.
Get back here as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And I think I was just in that immediately. So mm-hmm. I never had a middle step. I had to go from you live in the South, everything's kind of slow and moving along and getting it done and making it work to now do it. I never had that in between Midwestern step. I never had that step.
Isn't Charlotte still like that's still like a metropolitan area? And like even you went to a bigger school. We'll talk about schools a little later, but like
sure.
UNC Chapel Hill was like, I mean, that's where I wanted to go. We'll talk about that later, but like you're still, my undergrad was even like small town country, right. You know, Gettysburg was the major city, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So it was slow, but then you're like, oh, you're just an hour away. You're 45 minutes from Baltimore and
Right.
I was a square anyway, so I wasn't doing shit. I was talking to my dad's twin sister. I was like, a couple of days ago, I was like, I wasn't doing anything, you know, like I wasn't drinking like that. I was doing my plays and all that shit. I didn't really care. But Chicago was like, oh, okay, you got Chicago's a drink. What is a bar town?
Yes,
so you're going to go out and you're going to hang out. You're going to see people that way and all that stuff. So I was kind of growing up a little more being there because my undergrad was only an hour and a half away.
Well, my brother did the same thing. My brother went to A&T.
Okay.
And I know we're gonna talk about Dion. We'll talk about HBCUs. My little brother went to A&T. And in North Carolina, A&T, here in Greensboro. Greensboro is about 90 minutes away from Charlotte. So that's that same hour and a half that you referenced.
Right.
Then he moved to Chicago right after undergrad.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah.
He didn't go to grad school. He got a job, but he was a 21-year-old because he's a year younger.
He's an engineer, right?
Yeah, he's an engineer. He's doing way better than I am. I can tell you that.
and me too. I'm sure.
But he moved to Chicago, and so he kept when I told him I was moving to Chicago, he kept telling me about like you got to try this, you got to try that, and I think life comes at you in stages.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you and him, you guys moved there right after undergrad.
Yeah.
You're kind of fancy free. You're having fun. You don't have anything. When I moved to Chicago, I had a 4-month-old.
Yeah. You're already adulting, full on adulting.
Yeah. I was 33, 34.
Okay.
When I moved to Chicago. So I was like, dog, I'm not doing any of that stuff.
No.
I'm not going in the loop. I'm not going to Cubs games. You know what I do? I go to work and I go home. I ride the 9 bus down. I ride the 9 bus up and I'm done.
That Halsted bus?
No, Halsted's 8. Ashland is 9.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. Listen, you want to get into the bus talk? I can talk buses all day.
I just know. Okay. So the Halsted was 8. I know the 8 and the 22 and the 36.
The 22 is
Clark.
Is that
Clark?
22 is Clark.
It would drop you off in front of Wrigley, I think.
No, the 22 would not. No. The 20, because the 20 is Madison.
They changed it then.
The 20 is Madison. The 22 is it's either State or it's Grand.
It wouldn't take you up Broadway. Well, you know better than I would. I'm just saying
the 76 is the 74 is Fullerton and the 76 is Diversey.
Okay.
76 is Diversey. The blue line at the 9 is how you get to O'Hare.
Okay.
That's how I always got to O'Hare, unless you want to take the Damon in California. I mean, I can do all this stuff because I did live there for 4 years. And I did it for real. Like, that's one of the things I hope people understand is I did live in Chicago for real. I took the bus every single day.
Why people wouldn't believe you? Why wouldn't people believe you?
Well, people thought that like one of my good friends lives there, and he was like, "You didn't give the city a chance." I was like, "Dude, I'm riding the bus every day. What more chance should I give it?"
That's all you did. Did you and your wife go to a show, like a concert or anything? Mm-hmm. Or
we went and saw Florence and the Machine in the
United Center.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was easily the best concert I've ever been to. She's magical. We ate at La Scarola. La Scarola is the best Italian food I've ever had. It's the only time I didn't feel like I was getting robbed paying for Italian food.
Because you know how to cook. Yeah.
Yeah, I know how to cook. And like most times I eat Italian food, I'm like, you didn't make these noodles.
I was going to save this for later, but since you mentioned Italian food, I was gonna make some spaghetti either tonight or tomorrow. When you make the gravy, I'm not asking you like how to do it, but like, is it best to cook it and then put it in the refrigerator, put it in the fridge, and then eat it the next day?
I like it overnight. Yeah.
If I were to make some, maybe taste a little bit, but not like have a meal. Okay.
Yeah. When we have pasta, we have pasta the next day.
Okay.
I usually do, you know, 6 quarts of sauce.
Okay.
You know, 10 pounds of tomatoes. I like to grill them first, then get them in there. I also, this is a me move. This is a personal proclivity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like specks in the stuff.
What's like specks?
You know what I'm saying? Like rosemary, oregano, basil. Oh. I don't like that in there.
Okay.
So I wrap it all up with the bay leaf in a cheesecloth,
mm-hmm.
tie it off, and then I smash it down, and then I put it in. Same flavor, no specks.
Gotcha. Okay.
Then I run it all down with a hand blender. Then I let it cool. Then I put it in the fridge. Then I slowly, here's the thing, make a big pot.
Yeah.
And then you can put them into Ziploc bags, lay it on a sheet pan, freeze them. And then you can have single serve or double serve for what you need.
Huh.
It holds up well. Okay. But yes, I like it the day after because it gives the flavors the time to marry.
Okay, maybe I'll do that. I don't know if I'll do it tonight. I think I'm just going to make some Brussels sprouts and warm up some chicken that I got from the grocery store for tonight.
There you go. Tonight my wife decided last minute, we just had a refrigerator debacle. So
you got to cook new stuff?
We ordered a refrigerator. It came. We got our pipe is leaking from the wall. So I had to shut off the water from outside
because
they couldn't shut it off at the refrigerator. So I had to shut off the house water. House water's back on. It's a slow leak. We're not worried about it. Plumber's coming tomorrow at 9, but we got a brand new refrigerator today.
Yeah.
In celebration, we were supposed to have salad today. Tuesday, I like to have salad.
Yeah.
Weekend's been crazy. You don't know what your body's going to do. You need to get correct with some salad.
Okay.
And salad on Tuesday is what I try to do. But she said, can we do fried pork chops with rice and gravy? And I said, hell yeah, dog. I mean, you've had fried pork chops with rice and gravy?
Yes. Yeah. That's one of your favorite meals, right?
It's one of my favorite meals. It's the first meal I ever made for her.
Okay. I knew it was something. Yeah.
She loves it. So we're going to have that tonight. But we're in business. It's just, life is good, man. Like I'm home. 4 years in Chicago. Chris, 4 years in Chicago. I saw my family, I think 5 times, maybe 6 times combined.
Yeah.
And I see my family 5 days a week now. That's like it's just, and for my little girl, she loves it. Like just, she's running around outside, getting more and more ambitious and adventurous.
Yeah.
She's been such a little, like a giggle ninny, you know, like scared of everything. And
She used to be, but now she's good.
She's slowly starting to come out of her shell and like pick up a bug and not run away from a bug. And so we're working on that, but it's just like, I don't know, like, how did you grow up? Did you not grow up going out there, traipsing through stuff? Your mom got mad because you came home and your clothes was dirty?
I didn't have that many kids in my neighborhood. I had a backyard. I spent time hanging out with my cousins who were 2 years older. So we would play outside. We play sports together, at recess time. In the summertime, we would be outside because I would always say I would summer in North Carolina. But really, it's just going to my grandmother's house because my parents were tired of me. So it'd be me and my cousin and my late great uncle, and he'd hang out with us and we play baseball. We had go-karts. And so we spent time out and throwing the football around. And yeah, so that's kind of how I grew up. Especially, we did all the fun stuff like that in the summer. Then about the time I got to be around 10, I started playing sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
we were outside all the time, man. We were out there digging our own creeks and like diverting the creek water around and trying to figure out how to get the crawfish to come in there. And I grew up in the city. Like, I'm not going to pretend here like I'm some country boy. Like my address is like, I grew up in 28212. Like, that's Charlotte proper, like right across from Eastland Mall. So, but we still had creeks running through there, and we would try to divert the water and get the, and we would go every morning and check and see if there were raccoon tracks around. And moving back here, we've got the security cameras now, right?
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, we live in that surveillance state, baby.
Yeah. I know about those.
But I can see the raccoons. I can see the deer. I can see the possums. I think I have 5 cats right now is my last tally. It's 5 cats that are just
Just stray cats.
Just stray cats that roam up and down my property. And but the good thing is, I haven't seen a mouse. I haven't seen a rat. I haven't seen a mole. I haven't seen a rabbit. None of them.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's all good. Life's good, man. So to answer your question, long story short, life is good. We're having pork chops for dinner. It's good to hear your voice, man.
Yeah, it's good. I thought about you when the Dion thing went down, and I was just like, and I know we had texted maybe or messaged each other on IG like maybe a couple days before that. Yeah. And I was like, I got to get Felder back. Okay, that's a good reason to bother Felder. Get him. I try to reach out to people I care about. Hey, do my podcast. my male insecurity. I don't know if it's really male insecurity, but you know,
no, it's not insecure. It's nice to talk to folks. It's good to talk to your friends, man. And
yeah,
we check up on each other. And it's just, I've been so busy with this move and everything. I haven't done it as good a job as I should. But yeah, I'm so glad that you reached out to me, because I love hearing about how you're doing, man. Listen, every now and then I'll catch a glimpse of you, and I'll see you on IG, and I'll be like, look at my guy. Look at this guy. Look at him.
struggling.
Not struggling.
Hanging in there, man. Oh, I got one more food question, then we'll get into college football.
Uh-huh.
You made a bison hot dog?
So I bought those. I bought the bison steak.
Okay.
I made the buns. I made the slaw.
Yeah.
So the bison steak, I saw it at the store and I was like, I have never tried this, but let's try it.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 6.5, almost 7 inches long bison steak, or excuse me, bison sausage. And so I made hot dog buns and I said, let's flip these buns and make them a little bit more creamy. So I put buttermilk in them instead of just whole milk.
Okay.
And then went with the slaw. And the thing is, with most slaw recipes, you're going to end up with a lot of slaw.
Yeah.
And you don't want a lot of slaw. You want enough slaw for that meal.
My mother would love you, dude.
What?
She probably wished that you were her son, because you can cook like that. I can cook, and my mother would always try to find a way to say, like, it wasn't that great. Like, I made her some, some creamy rigatoni and
mm-hmm.
chicken pasta, whatever it is called. She liked it, but she was, you know, she always has to like, well, it wasn't that great. I was like, okay, mom. Yeah.
I will say this. I've reached a point in my cooking journey that my mom, there's nothing she can say to me.
You're better than her, right?
I'm not going to say that out loud, but.
Yeah.
In her words, you're doing stuff I wouldn't even try.
That's what she's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
See, okay. I think I'm good at making prime rib.
Yeah.
That's like $100 piece of meat. Even more if you get a bigger.
I'm going to pick one up
for Christmas.
Yep.
I wonder if we should do that. I did one in earlier this year, maybe January.
Uh-huh.
But like, she knows it's good, and she'll give me props, but she's, oh, it's too red. But that's how you're supposed to make it. But that's black people anyway.
Yeah, that's my mom. So here's what you do. My mom doesn't like garlic either.
Okay.
So here's what I do. You take that prime rib as you wrap it.
Mm-hmm.
You set yourself a line with the twine.
Yeah.
That's for her.
Oh, she'll just warm it up. She'll just cook it more. She'll take her piece and cook it more.
Hell yeah. Here's what I'm trying to tell you what I do.
Okay.
You set your line. So you got your prime rib right here, right? You got it wrapped. You got it wrapped and rolled tight.
Yeah.
I set a special piece of twine of, this is my mom's.
Yeah.
It's the back end, because I know she likes the back burnt part.
Right.
I make sure I put extra sugar on that part.
Ooh, sugar.
Sure. You don't put sugar in there?
No.
You got to put sugar in the rub. That's what makes it caramelize and get that hard crust on the outside.
I do like butter and I do like a paste.
Yeah, but you got to put sugar in that paste, because that's what caramelizes on the outside.
I'll try it the next. Okay. Brown or just pure white?
You can do brown or pure. Listen, pure white, brown, doesn't matter. You can do either one. You can do honey. You can do agave. You can do molasses. All that stuff works. They all work the same.
Okay.
And so what I do is, and then after that line, I start to stab in.
Yeah.
Push my garlic in. Stab in, push my garlic in. But I know the garlic is past this line. That's where the garlic is. Over here, no garlic. No garlic, and it gets cooked harder.
Okay.
That way I don't have to do two separate things, and I don't have to like pan fry her prime rib and break my own soul. Yeah. So So I do it that's the way that I do it, is so that I know where my mom's is and I know what I have to do to make sure it gets to where she needs it to be, but everything else is still under my control and it's still going to be very good. It's nowhere near as bad as what I have to do for my mother-in-law, where we had beef Wellington one year. And she just had like a filet on a plate. And then we had like actual beef Wellington with the mushrooms, with the sauce, with the puff pastry, the whole deal. And she was like, she was on the phone with her friend after dinner. She's like, we had beef Wellington for dinner. And I was like, you did not have beef Wellington.
No, you didn't, but we did.
We did. You had steak. We had beef Wellington.
What'd she say?
I didn't say anything to her. I'm not allowed to talk to her.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, let's not talk about that.
Why? So, she'll never listen to this. She doesn't know how to use a computer.
Finish up the brisket dogs. So were they brisket sausages? Bison hosta.
Bison sausage. Yeah, they were bison sausage.
Where'd you get it at? What store?
Harris Teeter.
Really? I've never seen that. Okay.
Neither had I. So I saw it and I picked them up.
And they're good?
They're good. Good snap. They got that good, like, I'm not going to call them gamey because people associate gamey with being rough or tough or whatever, but they've got a good chew and they have a lot of flavor. They're very flavorful. And so there's a lot more flavor in those than you're going to get out of, a hot dog or even a lot of the like an Italian sausage. They're a little more flavor, not as spicy, but they do have, there's a real like rich flavor to them. Richness is probably the word I would use. And then you throw your slaw in there, and I made a slaw. And again, I only use a quarter of a head of cabbage and dice it up, throw that in there with some apple cider vinegar, a little bit of mayo, a little bit of jalapeno, onion, carrot, and we're good to go. And then
was it just the slaw that you put on there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't like mustard.
I'm gonna tell my mom about that. I'm gonna get some. There's a Harris Teeter, and they got them in Maryland and D.C., so I'll have to stop and get some.
I love Harris Teeter.
Yeah, because we don't have Harris Teeter up here in Jersey.
You guys got Wegmans?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we got Wegmans. Yeah.
Wegmans is, I mean,
I think it's a good store for, like, what, you know, like, I mean, see, you guys got Publix and stuff, but,
I mean, I don't understand what Publix does nothing for me.
It's just the fact that, see, because you're a real chef, it would not do anything. The things that you want to make, you make it yourself. But somebody like me is like, oh, they make sandwiches there. If you woke up one day and said, oh, I think I want a rotisserie chicken, you'd make a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah.
If I wanted one, I was like, oh, go to Wegmans. So it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same for you. But
I get it. I started going to. I got to go to Jersey Mike's now.
Really, you go to Jersey Mike's?
I go to Jersey Mike's once a week. I used to go to Harris Teeter twice a week to get a sub.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't. One of the biggest things that I've learned, like in my like work life, is don't think about lunch. Don't think about lunch. Lunch can't be a thing that you think about. Eat the same thing every single day for lunch.
Interesting.
I learned that from Chris Sims.
The former quarterback.
Yes. We worked together at Bleach Report. He ate the same thing for lunch every single day.
What did he eat?
He used to eat rice and beans with chicken from Chipotle every single day.
Huh.
And it was just, he's like, I can't waste. And I read it and I never saw anyone implement it until I saw him doing it. Nick Saban is the guy that kind of pioneered that.
Just eat the same thing for lunch every day.
He eats the same thing for breakfast and lunch every day.
Okay.
And then I used to read Harper's Bazaar. I had to cancel all my magazine subscriptions. My wife said I wasn't reading well enough.
Mm-hmm.
but a lot of fashion designers, you know why they wear the black turtleneck or the black t-shirt?
Uniformity.
You don't have to think it. They don't have to think about what they wear every day.
Yeah.
They use all that time. They just grab the first one, grab the next one, and then they're done. They use all that time to think about how they can be creative. And I don't think I'm a creative person, but I wear the same thing every day. I eat the same thing for lunch every day. And when Harris Teeter discontinued the having the Philly cheesesteak that I would cut into thirds and eat, I just ate. All I need is a little bit of lunch to get me from to stop me from having a headache so I can keep working.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they discontinued it, I had to find it somewhere else. So I found it at Jersey Mike's. And so it's right around the corner. I pick that up every 4 days or whatever it is, and I'm good to go. But
I like Jersey Mike's. I haven't been there in a while. I like their cheesesteak.
It's good.
Yeah.
I do the call ahead and I literally don't have to talk to anyone. I pull in, I grab it, and then I'm back in my car. I'm back at home. I'm back at my computer working.
So you got that, like, what's that, that big kahuna thing?
The giant. I get the giant. I have them cut it into thirds. And then I get back home and I eat one third of it this day, one third of it the next day, one third of it the next day. And then I'll deal with where I'm at going forward.
That's a good idea.
Listen, anyone that's listening to this that has worked with me in the last like 6 years, you know that I eat the same thing every single time. And when I was in Chicago, I ate a Mariano's chicken Caesar wrap. I ate half one day, half the next day, and then I had to get another one. And that's all I ate every single day. Like, I'm, in the words of my dad, if someone wanted to kill you, they'd know where to find you.
Oh my God. He's always there.
That's my dad. Like that's what he says, man. And like, he's like,
that's funny.
You do the same thing every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to do it, I think, man. Because then you're not thinking about it. Because sometimes I have to go to store. What do I need to get something? I need to.
Let me ask you this. I know we got to talk about Dion, but let me ask you this. How do you do your grocery list?
Oh, I was talking about this last on the episode that's up now. Like, I think I've been shopping for my mom so much that I forget what I have. And I was at the store yesterday and I said, oh, I know they have this place, this Acme grocery store. They had chicken there, like cheap chicken Mondays. And you can get baked chicken or some. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, let me try that. And I had it. And I was like, oh, let me go back up there and get some. And I got some of that. And I said, I was thinking about making some spaghetti. I got the sauce and I was thinking about getting meatballs from Whole Foods because I like that. And I just ended up not wanting to go to another store. So I just went home and then I was going to order from Whole Foods, but it was too expensive to order delivery. And then I said, let me just do Wegmans. Fuck it. And I just did Instacart with Wegmans and got the rest of the stuff I needed. But I don't think I'll go back to the store this week. I don't think.
I hear you.
I go too much.
Too much?
I think I go to the store like I don't like get a bunch of stuff, you know, because I don't want it to like get old or get rotten or anything. So every now and then I'll go, you know, my dad used to do that. Like if you wanted something, you go, oh, I'll go to the store and get it, or I'll get it on my way home from work or something. Mm-hmm. Like that. If I'm thinking about it, I could try this today, tonight, or, you know, I don't know, man.
No, I'm a almost daily grocery store guy now that I'm back at home.
See, that's kind of hot, like every couple days. That's how I am.
Yeah. I was that in Chicago until the pandemic, like when the pandemic hit.
Right.
Then I was once a week and I was just grabbing everything. But here's the thing. The difference between me and you is I've got two fridges.
Oh, okay.
So I can two fridges, which also I have two fridges and two freezers.
Oh, wow.
My so I can
two freezers. Yeah.
Like I have two fridges, like it's a fridge freezer unit, two of them.
Right.
So I can, like, I have two turkeys in my freezer right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fried turkey, you know, when it gets a little bit, when it gets warmer, I'll fry a turkey. But the thing for me, when I got, I have an ongoing Google Doc that's just, what do we need from the store?
Mm-hmm.
And I just constantly update it. And then I transfer that to paper, and I know we need this, 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 and this, and this. And then we run. And then when I go to the store, I'm purely a list shopper. Are you a list shopper?
Yes. Yeah, I am. Cause okay. I'll put the notes on my phone. I'm like, I need this, this, and this, especially if I'm making a recipe, I'll look and I'll do that. But for the most part, yeah, I'm a list guy. Like, I'll put it on my phone, or if I'm not ordering it from Instacart or Amazon for my mom or something, or if I'm there, it just,
how's your mom doing?
She's doing all right. She's hanging in there. She made a guest appearance on the pod a couple weeks ago. And people were like, oh my God, your mom's so adorable. I was like, yeah, when she wants to be. She knew I was recording. That's why she wasn't yelling at me. That's why she wasn't like yelling or on her shit. But she's doing okay. She's you know.
Yeah. I feel you. My mom is a my mom was a middle school teacher at my middle school.
Oh my God.
So, like, I have friends who are still terrified of her.
I can believe it.
You're 36, man. Grow up.
Yeah, I'm getting stuff that you like, you know, that when she's yelling at me or something, it's like, oh, that'll go in the one-man show or the screenplay one day. Yeah, you know, stuff like that. When she's not contributing to my pain, that'll one day turn into art. She's doing all right. She's doing okay.
Good.
Yeah. I want to get into this college football stuff. I want your thoughts on Deion Sanders and because it seems like there's a big story. He left Jackson State. He was there for three seasons.
Three seasons,
and now he's moved on to Colorado, a Power Five school. What are your overall thoughts on it? And then we'll just like whittle it down.
Well, I think, listen, if we're going to go from the, like, you know, the 10,000 foot view, or how high the planes go, 30,000 foot view, you look at the big viewpoint here. He's a guy that wants to be a head coach, and he did not want to go through all he wanted to skip all the steps, and he found a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, obviously, I know Bomani mentioned, and we'll reference Bomani, what he said on CNN this week. But the reality for me is he is someone, he found a way to get the head coaching job. I think Eddie George has done the same thing. If I'm not mistaken, Trent Dilfer has done the same thing. We've seen guys do this where they're like, I'm not going to, you know what, I'll take this job instead of having to like work my way up. Part of that is most of the guys that are doing this, they know what it's like to be a GA. They know what it's like to be a positional coach. They know what it's like to finally get to hope to be a coordinator. They're like, I don't want to do any of that stuff. Let me be in charge. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the first reality of it.
Right.
Can you imagine Deion picking up a recruit? Can you imagine Deion working on Mike Norvell's staff, picking up a recruit in a van from the airport?
No,
not at all. Not at all. He doesn't want to do that. That's not a thing that interests him. I'll be honest with you, Chris. It's not a thing that interested me in college. I lost so many recruits. They were like, you can't do this anymore.
Oh, you used to recruit? You used to recruit?
When you play on the football team, you have to recruit. They pair you with someone. You have to host them. And
got it.
Three times, maybe four, I had a recruit. And then I was like, no, man, this girl's making eyes at me. I'm going to go talk to her. I don't care what you do. I'm definitely not making sure you get home to your hotel safe. Goodbye.
So you literally lost recruits, like not like they're not coming to the school, or you just lost them that night?
I lost them that night, and then they also didn't come to the school. So, I mean, that's the reality of my situation. So I was having a good time.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? I'm not dragging my heels for you.
Yeah.
But no, it just, but I, so he found a way to become a head coach. Wait,
let me see. Did, but speaking of those guys you lost, did any of them go like pro, or were any of them like heralded athletes?
No. One kid, this African kid played at Duke. I think he's from Tennessee. He's from Charlotte, but played at a boarding school in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
He was okay for Duke, but I can't even remember his name. Like I was.
Gotcha. So, okay.
He didn't go to the league. We're good.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right.
I didn't lose like Darrell Revis or somebody. Like,
okay, that's what I'm. Yeah, that's what I'm talking.
No, about. I didn't do that.
All right, and that guy was Darrell Revis. He left me in the parking lot at Bojangles. He said he'd be right back.
Yeah, listen, they'd be lucky if they got to. If we got to the Bojangles, I could get you home. But listen. If we're still in Avalon or we're in Players, the Players Dance Club, or we're still in Pantana Bob's, there's no, guess what, buddy? I'm not coming back. I'm gone.
Your it's boy's popping out. Down there. I only spent a weekend down there like in 2011, and it was, it was fun, man. I would have never, I love that place. I love North Carolina.
It's great. It's fantastic, man. I haven't been back since 2012. So,
yeah.
I don't know when I'm ever going to get back, but yes, absolutely. Here's the thing with Deion. So there's that. So we have that, right? We have the idea that he's skipped a lot. And we see this a lot of times with people that have quote unquote pedigree. We see it with the sons of coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, in my industry, we see it with a guy like a Tony Romo. Tony Romo is being successful, right? He is.
Right.
Good at his job. You know how many people have worked so hard to try to get that job?
Yeah.
And then he doesn't do any of the work. He just gets it, and he is good at it.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. I'm not sitting here saying he shouldn't have the job, but he gets to skip a step, which is what we're seeing Deion do as well, is skip that step. So I think the big key, I think that's step one. Step two is when Deion came in, he talked about uplifting HBCUs.
Right.
He talked about bringing the top Black athletes back to HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about building an environment where Black athletes felt comfortable. He talked about creating an experience that was positive to the Black athlete. And then he put, it's not his money where his mouth is. He put his clout where his mouth is.
Yeah.
Where he threw his, whether it's Aflac or it's, you know, all Nike, all this stuff. He threw everything that he had behind getting these NIL endorsements. So his guys got paid. Obviously gets the number one recruit in the country to go to Jackson State. That's a big deal. That's huge. That doesn't happen. That hasn't happened in a long time. I remember, what was his name? Was it Cyrus Quanjo?
I don't know. You would know better than I would.
Cyrus Quanjo. Cyrus Quanjo, I believe. Cyrus Quanjo. I think he got drafted by the Bills. Okay. Oh, he still plays for Denver. Good for him. So Cyrus Quanjo. He's from Maryland. Cyrus Quanjo was someone who in high school, I think he committed to Mike Locksley. Locksley was at New Mexico. And Locksley is from that D.C., Maryland area.
Okay.
Or, as you guys say, area.
Right.
So he's from there. So he committed to Locksley. And then Cyrus Quanjo was like, I can't go to school here. I am going to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like Deion's the first coach to try this. He's the first coach to have good success at it. And then you look at the situation he gets in, they go 4-3 in the COVID year, and then 11-2, and then 12-0. And that's the part that's going to be really interesting. They lose in the Celebration Bowl, which I don't think nearly enough people talk about, but it is what it is. But they lose 31-10 to the MEAC. And listen, we stay in the MEAC. In my life, we stay in the MEAC. Because Dell State's in the MEAC, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Dell State? Delaware State?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. You know
me. Yeah, Dell State's in the MEAC. That's where my aunt went to nursing school.
Okay, because that's an HBCU, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The Hornets. And they have the same colors.
The PWI is... Are the Hens, right? Blue Hens?
Blue Hens.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out Joey Flacco.
Right.
So he did that. He did good things, right? He finished first in the SWAC. And then this year he gets the job offer to Colorado. And this is the interesting part, because there are a lot of people that felt like he was invested. They bought in.
Mm-hmm.
And Deion, it's not to say he's not a good teammate, because that's a fallacy. But Deion made it seem like this was about something bigger than himself.
Right.
those are two completely separate things. You can be a good teammate, but still be focused in on yourself. Mm-hmm. And for him, he saw an opportunity and he took it with Colorado. So like, what were your thoughts when you heard it?
I was
sad. Were you surprised?
Not really, because of guys like Bomani Jones talking about it. You know, he talked about it on Game Theory. I rewatched it today before our conversation here now. Mm-hmm. And I saw that. And then more recently, I had seen his 60 Minutes profile. I was like, right. This is fucking great. This is amazing. You know,
sure.
And he's doing this beautiful stuff for this school. The kids are getting uniforms. They're getting suits, and they're, you know, being able to hold their heads up a little bit. And then they're building this foundation, and it's getting back. Cause maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. Not necessarily correct me, but educate me on this. When I was growing up, I got a few years on you. I'm 42. I was born in 1980. It wasn't a surprising thing. Like some of my favorite players, Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, Doug Williams went to HBCUs. The last recent guy who was a big star, the late, great Steve McNair, went to Alcorn State. And mm-hmm. like, are there any other big time players past Steve McNair that guys that have made their name for themselves that have been HBCU grads or attended HBCUs?
It's been tough. Guys have been drafted. Guys have made plays. Guys have done their thing. It's just, it's not what it used to be. And part of what it used to be was those guys had to go to school there.
Right, right.
I don't know if you want to get into it, but even like Shannon Sharpe, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And Shannon Sharpe, I don't know if you saw kind of his whole unhinged discussion about it with people, but like, I was like, man, you, what you've got to do is realize that just because you're on TV doesn't mean you're the smartest guy in the room.
And right. Right.
I think he is a smart guy. I understand what he's trying to say. I don't think he understands the way it comes off and the way that, again, it adds, he's pouring lighter fluid on a fire that's burning because people are already hurt.
Yeah.
It's like,
cause I listen to Michael Smith and Michael Holly talk about it on Brother to Another.
Yep.
And Michael Holly was like, okay, you know, we, like you said, he says, we thought this was bigger than football. We thought what you were doing, he disappointed people.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, like, you know, basically I'm paraphrasing what Michael Smith said. He said, we'd understand it. If it was Florida State, we get it.
Bingo.
That's your alma mater. We get it. But now to Michael Smith, it's like, oh, you're just another coach now.
Yep.
You're not doing the Eddie Robinson thing. You're not going to be here for, people were hoping, you know, and I remember Bomani saying on CNN, like, it's a 10-year gig. Like, it's a thing where it's like a 10-year thing and you're building something. But it's not that. Like, like Bo said, and I agree with him, he sold them a dream and then walked out on the dream.
Yeah, and that's the part that's where people's feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
And then you compound it by having someone like Sterling Sharpe, who went to an HBCU in Savannah State.
Shannon.
Shout out. Did I say Sterling?
Yeah. Did Shannon, Sterling go to one too?
Where is Sterling? No, Sterling went to South Carolina.
That's right. That's right.
Shannon went to Savannah State.
Yeah.
And he said flat out, if I had the grades, I wouldn't have gone to an HBCU.
That's kind of like that old thinking that I think, you know, some people had, that the generation after, like my parents were like, just go where you go to a quote unquote better school.
And I don't even know if it was a better school. I think it was more high profile school.
That's the thing. So you get have a better chance of
right. And that's
making it.
What they've done, listen, I went to UNC. All right. It doesn't get more PWI than, outside of an Ivy League school, it doesn't get more PWI than UNC.
I wanted to go there.
Yeah.
I got in.
I grew up wanting to go to UNC.
Mm-hmm.
My little brother went to A&T.
Yeah.
Our experiences were so completely different in terms of what life was like. And I will say this. I can't imagine being a regular student at a PWI as a black man.
Mm.
At a big, like a big, like big state U.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. I can understand what it's like for me as a football player.
Right.
Because things are completely different for me.
Yes. Yeah.
I lived in a completely different world than so many other people, which is why even on those campuses, and you can see it every football game, you watch the guys, the Omega Sci-Fis, and you watch those guys throwing it up to make sure, you know, like, this is what I'm a part of. This is who my family is.
Yeah.
That tracks back to guys that aren't on the football team, that aren't a part of that. That, like, that's the community that they have to build at those PWIs versus at an HBCU, you get that community built in.
Yeah.
It's a completely different world.
It is. And I think it's different for me. Well, I think I would have been all right at, I would have been okay at any one of them. And it goes back to earlier in our conversation today, being from PG County,
right?
If you was about your shit, you'd be able to excel anywhere.
Right.
Yes. And I think that's one thing I had going for me going into a Catholic school education, then going into a small liberal arts school where right. it was only a handful of us there.
Sure.
So having that, like, that sense of self and just being a regular student, not an athlete,
right.
I was okay. But like, now having said that, and where I went to school, I didn't have a problem going to an HBCU because a lot of my cousins did. I think all of them except me.
Right.
The ones that went to school. So I never was like, oh, I don't want to go there. I know my cousins got into Maryland Eastern Shore that were two years older than me. I didn't want to go there because I didn't want to go to the same school as them. I didn't want to be following them to that school. And I think I got money and probably had some good money going there, but I ended up going to Mount St. Mary's, and Mount St. Mary's was the only school that was like courted me, if you will. It yeah. had me there for visits. And my dad said, you're going here. I was like, yeah. but I want to go to Chapel Hill. And if, you know, the person that's footing the bill says you're going, you're fucking going.
Yeah. No, you I know? Get it. No, I understand. And
yeah,
I live in it's all crazy, everybody has to make the right decision for themselves. I knew yeah. that I was always going to go to UNC. I just happened to get to play football there.
Yeah.
I started preparing to go to UNC when I was in fourth or fifth grade. That was my parents were like, is this what you want? Okay. Here's the path that you have to take to get there.
Okay.
And then my little brother was like, I don't know what I want to do, but they set him on a track to make sure he was going to college. And he realized, I want to be an engineer. And the two choices in state were he could go to North Carolina State or you go to A&T. He sent off his stuff to both of them. NC State came back with, can you prove yourself to us? And he was like, prove myself. Like, look at what my numbers are. Look at my scores. Look what I've done. And they were like, well, and he was like, I'm just, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to A&T. And
what do they mean by prove yourself, though?
They're like, we need you to do it. They wanted him to do like another portfolio or put together another packet of information for his to go to their engineering school. And he said, mm-hmm. no, I've already done enough. And then after he said, I'm going to A&T, they were like, no, come here. You're good. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Come here.
Really?
Come here. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was, it's like, yeah.
Wonder why they did that.
Because he's really good at his job, and he's really, he was always going to be really good at it.
But they were trying to test him.
They were trying to make him do extra shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he's not going to do the extra stuff. So he said, you know what? And he had a great time. His, my sister-in-law, his at that time girlfriend, she ended up going to school in Greensboro as well. My brother and his wife have been together since 2004.
Wow.
So they've been, but they went to school in Greensboro together. They've been together the whole time. It's fantastic. But to circle back to Dion, yes, the whole thing here is this idea. And again, we pin it on someone like a Shannon Sharp, but he's not the only one, because Shannon Sharp's perpetuating this idea that exists in terms of especially the white community, mm-hmm. that HBCUs aren't as good.
Right.
Anyone who's ever set foot on the campus of an HBCU, anyone who's ever talked to someone who's gone to an HBCU, anyone who's ever studied at an HBCU, they know, they're like, oh no, we're getting a high quality education. And we're doing it against, you know, while they're trying, I don't know, remember when it was Bobby Jindal? I remember when it was the state, when it was Pat McCrory in the state of North Carolina, working to kind of defund these schools or underfund these schools, and they're still working to make it work.
Right.
And I don't know if you, like, you look at the, it just, it's HBCUs are a lot more than just really cool bands. They're They're great. They're great schools. That's where you get doctors, you get scientists, you get engineers. Which is what my brother is. My brother is in charge of a nuclear reactor.
Wow. Where is, like, he? Is he in Illinois still?
No, he's in Charlotte. He's outside of Charlotte. Yeah, okay, he's back in. Yeah, he lives about 20 minutes away from me.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, he helps run Duke Nuclear Energy.
Wow.
And, like, that's where you're not going to get that from, UNC.
Mm-hmm.
No one that ever went to UNC could do that. Won't happen. Will not happen.
Yeah.
We can talk to you all night about Robert Frost, and we could probably sew your wounds back together and report on it from a journalistic standpoint, but no. We ain't doing that, buddy. Classes don't go high enough.
Yeah.
But he got that from there, and I just think that, so folks were excited to see HBCUs pulled to the forefront by Dion.
Yeah.
And then to see him kind of unhitch himself so quickly, so swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jet. And again, you mentioned FSU. I'm not even going to say FSU. I'll go as low as Nebraska.
Okay.
Like, I'll go as low as Nebraska. Like, if you're going to take a job that most people view as below even Nebraska, what are you doing? You're in it for the money. And what's the name of Dion's, his song that he had?
Must Be the Money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, for a guy who was, to me, in my lifetime, one of the most exciting players ever, for him to be a journeyman, and everywhere he went after Atlanta, with the exception of going to Baltimore and the DC, mm-hmm. but like in his prime, in prime times prime, like going to the 49ers, winning, going mm-hmm. to San Francisco, going to the Cowboys. Like, he was like this mercenary that everywhere he went, he won. They would not throw to his side. And he changed the complexion of the game. I don't know. He just changed. He was a game changer. They would not throw to his side.
But yeah, but you made a great fucking point. He's a mercenary.
Yeah.
He's a mercenary.
Are we really surprised at that? Because Bomani, to me, was the only one that I heard say something like, Dion's out for Dion, guys. So and he said, like, I'm not going to say I told you so, but, you know, I understand why you're upset. And I understand, and I kind of feel the same way. I understand why these people are upset. This makes him like any other coach, but someone said, I think it might have been Mike. So much word salad going on right now that I've listened to so many clips. Is it fair that, like, these black folks have to be like these messianic leaders? Like, do they have to save everybody?
Well, if they don't claim that they want to, they don't have to.
There you go. Okay, that's the point. Yeah.
If he says, I wanted to be a head coach, this is my best shot to be a head coach, we're going to go out and win some football games, I'm going to elevate this program, that's a huge difference
mm-hmm.
than saying, God told me to come here so that I could raise HBCUs and then saying God told me to go to Colorado. That's a huge difference. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody looks at Lovie Smith and is like, Lovie Smith, and being in there like, man, this is our savior.
He's still at U of I?
No.
Where's he now?
I don't know.
Let me look.
He got fired. They got Brett Bielema now.
Okay.
Nobody, I mean, David Shaw just retired. It's almost like people forget that he's black.
Oh, he's with Texas. Is he still?
Who, Lovie Smith?
Oh, he's coaching the Texans. Head coach.
There you go.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
He just kind of looks like one of my neighbors. I like him because he looks like somebody I know.
I love his beard.
His beard is fucking amazing. It's incredible.
I know. I'm aspiring.
You got a good one going.
I know, but I want the all white.
Oh, well, let some age happen to you. Your daughter becoming a teenager. It'll whighten up.
I know. She's a little...
Well,
she becomes a teenager, I don't have to worry about her falling down the fucking stairs.
What now? Did this? How did you feel about it? How did this make you feel about Deion? What were your thoughts? You know, seeing him do what he did at Jackson State for that time.
I didn't think he was going to win.
Okay.
First and foremost, I put him in the box with Kevin Kelly. Now, most of your listeners will not know who Kevin Kelly is. Kevin Kelly is a coach from the state of Arkansas, from Little Rock, to be quite specific, Pulaski Academy, who never punted, and. College football got all up in arms and they were like, this guy's going to be the next big thing. Cause college football media, they hate punting so much and they think that you should never punt. And I'm like, yeah, but you guys don't understand how football actually works. Like you do have to punt or you're going to get screwed. And basically he got the job. And the difference between Deion and Kevin Kelly is Kevin Kelly took a job at Presbyterian and their roster is bad.
Okay.
And so they won their first two games, I think, and then they got smashed out the rest of the year. And so he quit. I thought it was a flash in the pan gimmick hire that was not going to work. And Kevin Kelly was, I saw him one-on-one on those. Mm-hmm. Deion worked for Jackson State. Kevin Kelly did not work for Presbyterian. Deion also found a way to get a way better roster than Kevin Kelly could have ever dreamed of. And he found a way to get a great roster, found a way to get the number one recruit in the country, found a way to make those guys come together. And it's just, it found a way to hire a bunch of coaches. Like, I don't know where the money came from, but they found a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't think it was going to work from a football standpoint, but they did. But they overwhelmingly, if you look at their record, you look at what they were able to do, they had the best team almost every game they played. And so there's that. But he elevated what they were able to do, right? He got them from ESPN Plus to ESPN 2 a couple times. Hmm. He got game day to come there. He got players to pay attention to him. He got coaches to come and visit. He got keynote speakers to come and talk to these guys. He did, as you mentioned, get them suits, get them haircuts, get guys braces. That's one of the things that I don't think people realize this. You go to Georgia, you go to Alabama, you go to whatever, you got fucked up teeth. They're going to get those teeth fixed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because that's part of the medical.
Wow.
Especially if you're like, I'm getting migraines or whatever it is, they're going to get you braces and get your teeth fixed up.
Wow.
Yeah, they're going to figure it out for you. They're going to help you get suits. They're going to help you learn how to interview for college. And Deion was on the way to doing some of those things. And it just, I guess for me, that there's two questions. And I don't know the answers to either one of these. One, how does Jackson State, and on a more grand scale, how do HBCUs continue the forward progress that has been made? Because the goal here is to not lose ground. Right. You lose ground, you're in trouble. You can't lose this ground. You've made up some ground. You can't lose ground. And then two, is Deion a good coach? Because he's about to step into the ring with Chip Kelly, Jed Fish, Lincoln Riley, Dan Lanning, Kyle Whittingham, let's go toe to toe, boys. You ready to rock and roll? Jonathan Smith.
Is this the Big 12?
Pac-12.
Oh, they moved. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's going to try to pull his pants down.
Yeah.
This is like everyone's going to try to pull his pants down. And I want to see what that looks like on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not sure if he can coach or not. I think he can coach a position, but yeah. I don't know if he can coach or not.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a really interesting one.
Because they had two other black coaches before him, Colorado?
Three.
Yeah. In how many years?
Back to back to back.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Ugh.
How? Excuse me. Hang on. Let me make sure. Hang on. Let me make sure I'm right.
Okay.
They had, I know they had head coaches. Here we go. List of head coaches. List of Colorado Buffalo head coaches. Here we go. Here we go. So we got John Embry, black. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Mike McIntyre is white. Mel Tucker, Carl Durrell, now Deion Sanders. So they have three in a row, four of their last five.
Ooh.
Embry obviously played at Colorado. Mel Tucker comes with that NFL, Alabama, and Georgia pedigree. And then he took the Michigan State job. Carl Durrell comes with a little Pac-12 cred because he coached at UCLA. And now Deion comes in. And we'll see what happens.
Does it soften the blow that these kids at Jackson State that, you know, were promised these things, were just promised to be coached by Deion? Does a transfer portal soften that blow a little bit because these kids can go somewhere else?
He's taking 10 kids with him.
Okay.
And so we'll see what happens. I mean, going somewhere else isn't always great. And that's the thing I don't think a lot of folks think about. Like for you, would you pack up and move for an for not a job? Not you putting pen to paper saying you get this. Just someone saying we'll give you a chance.
Depending on what it was. Are you saying like in show business? Like we'll give you a chance to,
like, why don't you live in LA right now?
I like being closer to my mom. And then I think there's opportunities for me here to be successful.
Wow, like that's the exact same fucking answer that someone from Jackson State will probably give too.
Yeah.
When they don't transfer. They like being close to their mom.
Yeah.
And they think they've got an opportunity to start on this football team.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because like Broadway's here and show business is here. You know, like I've
Know, I understand.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Like transferring's hard. Leaving your whole family behind is hard. I did it 4 years ago.
Yeah.
The hardest thing I ever had to do in my life was pack up everything I've ever known and move to Chicago. And that was with guaranteed money.
Right. Right.
Then you got to go somewhere without guaranteed money.
What's the deal with them saying Colorado saying they don't have the money yet for Deion? What does that mean?
It means that they haven't approved it yet.
Oh, okay.
They have the money. They can afford it. It's not an issue of them coming up short. It's an issue of them not having full board approval. That'll happen. And again, remember, this happened over the weekend. Guess what boards don't do? Meet on weekends.
Right.
So we're talking on a Tuesday. By Thursday, this will be done and the details will be finalized. And it's all good because they've already introduced it.
Why would they even bring that up?
Because if you file a FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, you're going to have to go through and look at when they had their meetings.
Oh, okay. 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 That makes sense now.
So everybody's covering their own ass. I mean, it's all CYA forever. That's all this sport is.
So the kid, there's a kid that just, the quarterback just ended, the Colorado quarterback just entered the transfer portal, I saw.
Yes.
So he's going to go. So he wasn't that good. No way. Well,
he's fine.
He didn't do well.
He's fine. It's just, he's not someone that wants to play for Deion.
So is it like Deion's son is going to, because even Bomani mentioned that Deion's Shader. Son did not want to, look like he didn't want to leave.
Yeah. Again, someone who got into that environment and really thrived in that environment and liked where he was.
Yeah.
But now Shader's going to have to go somewhere else and he's going to have to be like the guy to do everything.
From a college analyst standpoint, Does this better his chances at making it to the league, or does it? What does that do for some? You know, what does that do for his profile? Like getting a getting drafted,
higher profile, more people in the country will get to see him. But the more people see you, the more they also see your warts.
Yeah,
tougher competition, more visibility, because you better believe Deion's games are going to be on.
Yeah.
They're not just shoving them to the Pac-12 network. They're going to ESPN2. They're going to FS1. They're going to Fox Big Noon. They're going to whatever. So if you mess up, guess what? We all see it.
Yeah. I might even
versus a highlight package that they put together to show on SportsCenter for a team that nobody can pick out what even state they're in.
Doesn't he have another kid too? Another kid?
Yes, he has. He's got more than another kid.
I mean, like college age, like that's a DB or something, or.
Hang on. I can't remember his name.
Okay, I was just trying to think. Like there was like somebody else that was supposed to come, but he wasn't at the press conference or something. And
yeah, I think he has. Hang on, let me see. Oh my goodness. God, now I can't remember.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Oh, Shiloh.
Shiloh, okay.
Yeah, Shiloh. That's his other son.
And he was there. He was at Jackson State too, right?
He transferred to Jackson State from South Carolina. I remember Shiloh. I saw Shiloh when he was in high school.
How was he?
He's fine.
Yeah.
If Deion wasn't his dad, he probably doesn't end up in South Carolina.
Oh, okay. So yeah. He's like a Nepo baby kind of?
Yeah, he's fine. He's not like nobody's gonna lose their mind to get him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it, man. Cause it's almost like he sold us a bill of goods that that he just didn't follow through on. And it's disappointing that, you know, he's doing all these great things, but then there's a call to arms for everybody that was galvanized by Deion to just still contribute to these schools, still go to the games, still support these teams, still consider going to these schools. Cause in Bomani's piece on game theory, they were just talking about like, hey, why don't these people throw some money at a science building or, you know, get the endowments that these other schools get, that these other universities get.
I don't know, man. I've looked at this, like, and this is one of those things that, like, this is the difference between my brother's school and my school, our endowments. And A&T just built a new baller-ass building.
Hmm.
They built a bunch of new things that which is very cool. Good grief, come on. Just do the thing that I want you to do, which is just show me endowment. Because they just raised $181 million. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know I graduated with some people from high school that went to A&T.
Had a great time, I'm sure.
Yeah, and a bunch of kids went to HBCUs from my school, from a private Catholic school in, you know, obviously PG County. So it was never the only thing that we did in our school that was arrogant was just that the kids that went to community college, like, we kind of laughed.
You guys are mean to them?
No, yeah. But just because your parents spent that money and like, what the fuck are you doing? It was more like that than like.
Well, they were saving money.
Yeah. So it's like you're going, your parents are busting their ass to go to like a good school, a good college prep school, and you fuck off and go like to PG Community College, which is actually a really good community college. People get their associates and they can go to College Park or they go wherever they want. But
and then they go there instantly and are ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Like it's not a bad, like it's, we should be a lot better about our community college system because
yeah
it introduces people into the world a lot quicker, because most of the people that go to community college, they go to school and they work.
Yeah.
So you get that work-life balance. It's not to say that most people, no, it is to say most people that go to college, like 4 year,
yeah,
most of them don't work like a job where they interact with real people.
Right. That's true.
You work That's on true. A college, you can work in a college. There's a difference between working in a college town, working at a college, versus like you live in DC or you live in whatever, and you have to like, you work
mm-hmm.
while you go to school. So like shout out to everyone that went to CPCC, Central Piedmont Community College. Like they, like, listen, there's a huge difference between working at AutoZone and working at the Starbucks next to the school.
Oh yeah.
Those are completely different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
One guy's like, I will hit you with a wrench, and you're like, I got to figure out how to defuse this. And the other one is like, you spelled my name wrong.
Yeah.
But no, AT&T's endowment is like 200 and something million dollars, and UNC's is $5.1 billion.
Fuck.
And just had a 42% return on their investment.
Wow.
So it's a different world.
Yeah.
Like I don't donate. If I donate to a school, I'll donate anonymously to HBCUs. I do not donate to UNC. And that's not a knock on UNC. They just don't need me for anything.
It's almost a thing like with like Nicole Hannah Jones, like down at you trying to get tenure and all that. And then she ended up mm-hmm. going to Howard. It's like that thing, yeah. like the thing that Michael Smith brings up, like their water's wetter. Their water's wetter, the grass is greener and all mm-hmm. of that. And then you're just like, fuck this, man.
Yeah. But it's a lot. I try to say this a lot because so many people hear the word privilege
mm-hmm.
and they get taken aback. Like, I had to work hard. I did work hard. Nobody gave anything to me. And I'm like, nobody gave anything to you. But I say this as someone, I know that I'm a privileged kid.
Me too.
I'm not a rich kid, but I'm a privileged kid.
Yeah.
My mom and dad both went to college. They both went to ECU. My brother and I, we are dad and mom. And then my grandma and grandpa. So my brother and I, think about this as a black family. We are we're third generation college kids.
Mm.
As a black family.
That's deep.
That doesn't happen a lot.
My dad did some college. He was sure. probably a few credits shy at Fayetteville State. Mm-hmm. My mother did not go, probably should have went, sent her sister instead of going herself.
Sure.
I was the first of the grandkids to graduate
mm-hmm.
on my mom's side. I didn't realize right. that until I graduated. And, and on my dad's side, a lot of my cousins and aunts, they went to HBCUs, Bennett yeah. College, my dad's oldest sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. A&T, you know, so I had that around, but like my parents were laborers and, yeah. you know, I was still privileged. I did not want for anything.
For sure.
You know, so there is some privilege, and I had a lot of privilege, but I just think, I was bummed out to find that he left. Because yeah. it just made it seem, because I was just kind of on the periphery of it all. I was like, oh, cool. Dion's at an HBCU. He's coaching. And I think it's what you said and what everybody's been saying that has a lot of knowledge on it was just like he wanted to skip the steps.
Sure. And that's fine.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, you wouldn't see Peyton Manning's not going to be anybody's assistant coach.
Right.
You know, like a lot of these guys, their egos are
But Peyton Manning's also not going to walk in and try to sell you a bill of goods so he can get this.
He don't have
to. Right. And that's the part for me that's he got this. Dion got that Jackson State job because he spoke so passionately about wanting to elevate this community.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as another community has an opportunity for him, he's ready to dash.
Yeah.
And I've seen people say, well, he can give back more if he makes $3 million versus making $300,000. And I was like, sure, but is he?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's how I feel. It's frustrating on my end just to know that. I mean, those kids, they like playing for him. Listen, at the end of the day, if any of those guys listen to this, it's a great experience. You had a good experience. You got to, you know, spend time with Coach Prime. I don't know how involved he was in their like day-to-day lives. I have no idea, but definitely, you know, keep fighting.
Yeah.
And everybody else keep supporting them. So boom.
Yeah. Oh, you made me think about Jeff Saturday. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I understand. Like, listen, he went to UNC.
He did?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Did you play with him?
No.
He's older.
No. He's older than I am. He's older than you are.
Yeah, let me see. How old is he?
Yeah, Jeff Saturday. No, I didn't play with him. He played with like Brandon Spoon.
Ooh, I remember him in the video game.
Yeah. Yeah, 44, baby. But no, I
Oh, he's 47. Oh, he's 5 years older than me. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't listen. Do whatever you want. It's your money.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the NFL and college for me.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, do whatever. It's your money.
Yeah.
Waste it. I don't care. Like, these guys are going to continue to get paid. These guys will get paid. They will get jobs. There's a million other candidates out there that are better, but if that's what you want to do, go for it.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be other, how much of a leash do you think Deion's going to have? Like, for him to turn this program around?
It depends on how much money they sink into him.
Yeah.
You know? And how, like, I don't know. Like, what if he's good?
Yeah.
What if he's good? I have no idea. Like, that's the other part. We're all assuming that he's not going to be that good. Excuse me. But what if he's good? What if he's good?
Yeah.
If he's good, like, hey, you know what? Keep doing your thing. But if he's bad, there's going to be a lot of I told you so's. And I think a lot of those I told you so's will be a lot less about questioning his coaching prowess and a lot more about questioning his skin color. So,
yeah.
That's the part that's the other part is like, I got friends that have been in coaching for, I'm 38, 22. I got friends that have been coaching for 16 years.
Yeah.
We'll never get an opportunity like this. I got friends that have been, I got coaches that I played for.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's LSU's defensive coordinator, he just got that job this year. He was my GA in 2004.
What's a GA?
Graduate assistant.
Okay. Okay.
And you don't get paid. You go to grad school, quote unquote, and then you also coach football. You're like a little errand boy.
Yeah.
While you learn underneath the head coach and the defensive coordinator and the other positional coaches, and you run scout team and the whole deal. Matt House, LSU's defensive coordinator, was my GA when I was at UNC.
16 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's just now the defensive coordinator at LSU.
How old is he? Probably like 40 something.
Yeah. He had to be 24, 25 when we were at UNC.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he can't get a head coaching job. He's a white guy.
Yeah.
My man, Joe Daly. Joe Daly was the offensive coordinator at Liberty under Turner Gill. And I think he was a quarterback coach at Kansas under Turner Gill. Played at UNC. He's looking for a job right now. Put in the work, done everything he can. What do you want him to do? Hulk skipping steps is hard.
Yeah.
It's rough to see. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I gotta get dinner started, my man.
No, I know. I want to get you to your pork chops and rice and gravy, man. This has been incredible, man. You delivered like I knew that you would, and it's a pleasure to have you on. And plug anything you got going, and we'll take it away.
Hey, man, if you know anybody who wants to hire a college football analyst, hit me up at In the Bleachers on Twitter. I'm unemployed right now, so. Okay. I work for Field of 12. Field of 12 is a really cool it's like a lot of people. I work with Kevin Sumlin, by the way.
Okay.
So I get to talk with Kevin Sumlin about football, and Christian Hackenberg and Trevor Knight and George Whitfield. We talk a lot of college football over there at Field of 12. It's also available through the SiriusXM app. You can also check me out on Hand in the Dirt. It's a gardening podcast about football. If that doesn't make any sense, it shouldn't, because really it's a lifestyle podcast. But other than that, Chris, it's good to see your face, man. I see you out there. You stopped toweling off. You cooled down a little bit.
Yeah. Post-shower sweat.
I feel you, man.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome. Felder, thank you so much again for doing this. Everybody, thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.